Well, good morning again. Hey, if you're new with us this morning, welcome to New Hope Church. Man, God is doing some amazing things in and through this ministry here in the Moapa Valley. We are so excited. Our team is getting bigger. God is doing an amazing thing, and I believe that He brought you here for a reason. I believe that He brought here because He wants to speak purpose into your life. He wants you to have rooted relationships here in the church and what that might look like. So welcome. If you're new with us today, we have a really special way of welcoming our new guests. Can we do that on three? One, two, three.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. We're so glad that you guys are with us. Hey, at any point during this service time, you can see the blue cards in the seat back cushion in front of you. If you could pull that out, fill that card out. Maybe you've been coming for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even a month, and you haven't done that yet. Pull that card out, fill it out. At the end, Vanetta will be in the back, and she'll collect that card, and we have a gift for you. So make sure you turn that in. We've got a free gift for you. Okay, there's all the announcements. All the new guest announcements. Man, I am drank too many Celsiuses today. The wife took us to Zion. What a beautiful, beautiful place. I tell you, I've been there 5 times, and I don't even get bored with it. I love that place. But we haven't done any hiking since it's been summer. So my body hurts. If I sit too long, I get all like tightened up. So I had to keep pacing on the stage here. But what a beautiful place to be a part of, to go out and just see God's creation, quietness, checking out the trails, and the river runs through there, and the trees. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just an amazing place. And so, yeah, I had too many Celsiuses just to get me up this morning. Wife is shaking her head. She says, stop drinking Celsiuses. Are you guys ready for the last week of rooted relationships? Have you been challenged? Have you been challenged? How many of you signed up for rooted? Just wanted people to see hands. If you weren't here last week, we launched the rooted signups for our rooted groups, discipleship groups, last week. And you'll have an opportunity this week too as we close out our rooted relationships. But there was an ideal I was going with this whole final thing, and I decided to change it because Jesus says certain people don't have roots. And we're going to dive into what that looks like this week. And so, Father, we just thank You that we get to have healthy relationships. If we're willing to set aside our pride and our comfort to really focus in on what it looks like to be rooted in You, rooted in our relationships, what it means to bear much fruit. So Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Let it change us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to go deep, right? The final word of growing deep. If you have your Bibles, we will be in Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8. And we will touch on 18 through 23. So, Matthew 13. So, let's do a recap here. First week, we got really challenged because the Bible tells us about bearing each other's burdens. What does it look like when someone else is getting crushed by the weight of life? And we talked about, we don't just stand around and say, oh, I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. It's going to be okay. We'll pray for you. No, no, no. We talked about when we have to rush over and help somebody being crushed by the weight of life. We talked about Galatians 2 and how the body of Christ is supposed to function. We discovered that when we carry each other's loads, we actually are fulfilling the law of Christ. And that is to love one another. But how many of us are still trying to carry the weight of our own lives in our hands without ever allowing anybody else into our life or actually allowing God to take some of that weight on for us? The second week, we talked about the heart of biblical worship. We had a couple chairs up here. We talked about Jesus. He didn't spend 3 years just giving information to His disciples. He did life with His disciples. He taught them and walked down the road, and He had dinner with them. He did life with them. Real discipleship happens in relationships. Last week, we talked about patient hope with imperfect people. If you weren't challenged by it, then you were the one who's probably the imperfect people that's bugging everybody else. We talked about how community isn't just about finding perfect people, because you're never going to find perfect people. Thank God for that. Could you imagine if we all thought we were perfect, how hard it would be to do church? To do anything? It would be very difficult because we all have our own ideas, we have our own desires, we have our own thoughts on how things should be. So thank God for perfect, imperfect people. And we learn to have the same patient hope that God has with us, even when people disappoint us because we disappoint other people. So now today, the final week, I want to bring all this together. My wife and I, we like watching shows on Discovery of Alaska. I like Alaska. Can't wait to go to Alaska. I have some friends in the house who lived in Alaska. They probably say, dude, you don't know how cold it is there. But I want to go to Alaska. So I like to watch a lot of shows, documentaries on homesteaders. Anybody else like the homesteading people? I think we've watched every single possible one that you could possibly think of. But there's this one that really kind of caught my eye. And it was a series about four different homesteaders trying to start a farm in Alaska, right? Each one got the same premium seeds. They got the same basic training and the same opportunity to succeed in growing this farm. Well, the first guy, Mike, you know, he was excited, but he had zero preparation. He threw those, he was so excited, he just started taking the seed and throwing it everywhere. That's how excited he was. He didn't break up the soil. He said, you know what, nature's going to take care of it, it's going to grow, and guess what happened? The birds had a feast. The birds found the seeds, and they had a feast on his seed. His crop never even had a chance to grow. The second homesteader, Sarah, she was smart. Well, she thought she was smart. Like many of them on there, like, I got this figured out. She found this beautiful rocky ledge. Oh, wouldn't that be so pretty? You know, to put a garden right there. Look how fast everything is growing. She planted her seed, everything's growing. Man, she was posting on social media. She was sharing. She was like just telling everybody about what was going on for about 3 weeks. But when the Alaska sun hit, the shallow soil couldn't sustain the deep roots. And everything withered away. There was no foundation for the seeds to grow. The third guy, Tom, he cleared his land. But he got lazy. I don't know. Sometimes I get a little lazy, you know. I tried to do a garden once. You know what didn't get done? The weeds. The weeds. He planted in decent soil. The soil was even good. And he prepped it. But the problem is he let the weeds take over his farm, his garden. And he was saying, I'll deal with it later. I'll go pull it out later. He kept saying, his crop started out strong, but slowly the weeds started to choke everything out. The weeds started to take over the nutrients and the space where the plant was supposed to be growing. And the fourth homesteader, Mia, she spent months preparing the soil. She planted. She weeded constantly. She understood that the good soil doesn't happen by accident. Hear me. Good soil doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentional cultivation. That means there's something that we have to do to produce good soil in our lives. Her harvest was incredible. Four people, same seeds, same opportunities, completely different results. Why? It wasn't about the seed that was being planted. It was about the soil and its roots, which prevented it from growing. But here's what fascinates me about Mia's success. She didn't do it all alone. While there were other three homesteaders were isolated in their own little neck of the woods doing their own thing, Mia was studying, building relationships with experienced farmers in the other communities. She joined groups where she could ask questions and learn from others' mistakes. She invited neighbors over to see the progress of her yard to say, "Hey, am I doing everything all right?" While the other ones figured they could do everything all by themselves, Mia understood something that the others missed. Deep roots don't just go down, they connect horizontally. We have a vertical relationship in our life with God that we need to have, but it also has to go vertical. We can't do this by ourselves. When they're connected horizontally, guess what happens? The roots intertwine together, and they get stronger. In Alaska's harsh conditions, plants that survive create interconnected root systems that share nutrients, support each other in the storms. The crops that thrive aren't lone giants. They're the ones connected to the forest community. The failed homesteaders, they tried to do it alone. When problems hit, they had no one to call, no network to draw from, no community to sustain them. Rooted relationships. See, here's the question that we should that should shake every one of us. When God's word gets planted in your life, what kind of soil are you providing? Are your spiritual roots deep enough and connected enough to sustain you when the storms come? Because here's what Jesus is about to show us in Matthew 13. The same message, which is the message, the seed that's being casted is the message, if you haven't figured that out yet, that transforms one person's life completely, bounces right back off another person entirely. Some people receive the word, and some people, it just bounces right off of them. Same message, different soil. And it has nothing to do, listen, it has nothing to do with the seed. It has nothing to do with the message. It has everything to do with the condition of our heart receiving it and the relationship connections that nourish that in our hearts. There's no point in me getting up here preaching every single week if you're not in this room. There's no point in getting into a small group or a life group or a discipleship group if you're doing it all by yourself. This parable will change everything. It says, then he told them many things in parables. He is Jesus. It says, a farmer went out to sow the seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But the sun came up. The plants were scorched. They withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop of 160 and 30 times what was sown. Now, I know most of you have heard this parable many, many times, but I want you to forget everything that you've heard, because I'm going to challenge you. Actually, Jesus is going to challenge you and blow your mind with this explanation. So now we jump to verse 20 and 21. It says, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. How many people have come to church, have you seen in the years of coming? I'm talking to the people who've been followers of Jesus. I'm going to raise my hand. I have seen people come to church, get so fired up and get involved and do all these things, but then the moment a storm comes in, they fall away. Church, when Jesus is talking about having no roots, he's not just talking about a shallow spiritual commitment. He's talking about people who try to live a Christian life in isolation. Cut off from the body of Christ, disconnected from a spiritual community, attempting to survive on their own spiritual resources. Just like the Alaskan plants, we were never designed to do this alone. Never designed. The Christians who thrive aren't the spiritual lone wolves. It's not the spiritual lone wolves who are more holier than ever that are sitting in their prayer closet all by themselves, never having a relationship with somebody. The ones who are thriving, who are making disciples, who God has their hand on them, are impacting other people's lives, are pouring into other people's lives. They're not doing it all by themselves. They're the ones whose roots are running deep into relationships and with God and His people. With God and His people. They're connected to mentors, accountability partners, small groups, the broader church family. When the storms hit, they don't just have their own spiritual reserve to draw from. They have an entire network of faith sustaining them through these storms. The rooted problem here. Jesus explains the thorny ground now. He says the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of the life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Church, this is America. This is the American church. We come in and we get our ears tickled over the sermons. Oh, I can be this and I can be that, and God's got a plan for me. A lot of people are being choked out by the thorns of this world. We hear God's word and it sounds really good. We even believe it. We even try to live it out. But slowly and gradually, the thorns grow up around our faith and they choke us out. You worry about your 401k. You worry about your kids' college. You worry about you got anxiety about paying your bills on time, some of us. Some of us, it's the exhaustion of working 50 hours a week for a house that we probably don't even need. We are running ourselves dry, working so hard for a house that we think that we need. And these storms, they don't just kill your faith immediately. They sneak in. They choke them out slowly. Until what was once a vibrant relationship with Jesus becomes a Sunday morning routine. Yeah, we still call ourselves Christians. We still come to church sometimes. But be honest, when was the last time God's word actually changed the way that you live your life? When was the last time you made a decision based on what Jesus wanted instead of what you wanted? When was the last time I made a decision on what Jesus wanted to do with my finances rather than what I wanted to do with my finances? The thorns are choking us, and we don't even realize it half the time. But Jesus gives us hope. Verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, is the one who produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. I want that kind of soil in my life. Good soil produces good fruit. Not just good fruit, lots of fruit. So what makes the difference? What separates the shallow, the rocky ground Christians from deep-rooted, fruitful Christians? It's the roots. Because in all these cases, besides where the seed was casted and the birds ate it, they all had a root system. The ones that the birds ate didn't even get a chance. But they all have roots. Here's what I've learned of the years of ministry. Roots don't grow in isolation. They grow in community. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I have been a part of small groups from the moment I gave my life to Jesus coming out of that jail cell. I needed small groups. You know why? Because I didn't know how to walk this walk by myself. I needed people in my life who had been walking with Jesus for so long and who had been through similar situations that I had been through to come alongside me and help me navigate these things that I was considering calling myself a Christian. The term sounded really good, but I didn't want to do the work involved in it. But my small groups came alongside me. They prayed for me. They held me accountable. They pointed me in the right direction. Because if you leave everything up to my own decisions, I go down the wide path. I wanted to go down the narrow path, which leads to life. But here's the problem. We've been convinced that we can bear fruit without people in our lives. We believe that we can come to church on a Sunday and never be a part of a small group or be a part of anybody else's life in our church and think that we're going to bear fruit. It doesn't work that way. Oh, don't worry. I know. Some of you have been walking with Jesus for 20 years, and I've heard the stories before. He says, well, I've got my quiet time. I do my devotion time every morning. I listen to worship music on my way to work in the morning. I even sing out loud in my car because nobody's listening. You know what? You guys were beautiful. I'm up here with my wife listening to you guys sing. I was crying. You guys sound amazing. You know, I even watch an occasional sermon. I might even go back and listen to Pastor Jeremy's sermons on James. Yeah. If you don't understand, you'll just have to go listen. James got a lot to teach. I even watch sermons online. Maybe it's even some of the best preachers in the world I listen to, and I'm good. But then we wonder why we feel spiritually malnourished. We feel like our faith just isn't strong enough to produce anything in our lives that is actually worth being excited about. We should be excited with what God is doing in our lives. And if you're not excited, that means you're not nourished inside. You're not feeding Holy Spirit inside of you to get excited about the things of God. We think we can handle temptation alone. Church, we can't develop deep spiritual roots by ourselves, and here's why. We think that we can handle temptation alone. There's James. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Not forgiven, healed. This happens in the context of one another. Not just to God, to one another, because isolation breeds deception, and deception leads to defeat. When you're trying to fight temptation by yourself, you're going to lose every single time. I know. If you're new with us, I was a drug dealer, and now I'm a hope dealer. I have been through the worst of the worst of the worst. Praise God. I needed to confess my brokenness to somebody who would love me in spite of me. We think that we can carry, we think we can stay strong without accountability. Looking at one of my guys. This is all we talk about, accountability all the time. But Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's a reason why it's there, because you will be defeated if you stand alone. Think about all the things in the world between military and army and police officers. Nobody does this stuff alone. It doesn't work. Your walk with Christ cannot be done alone. It doesn't work. When you're under attack, you need backup. Think about it. When a farmer wants to prevent soil erosion, what do? They don't build one tree. They build a bunch of trees that keeps the root system, and the root systems intertwined together, and they strengthen each other. Think about a redwood tree. These things grow 100 plus feet into the air. Did you know that their root system is only about 50 feet into the ground? They have some of the most shallowest roots, but that's why you don't see one red tree. You see several red trees, because the roots intergrow, being only 50 feet down, and they get trees, a bunch of trees that are 100 plus feet. The roots intertwine together, and that's where they get their strength from. That's why they're able to grow so tall, is because their root system is working together with the other trees. Church, this is why God designed the body of Christ. It's not just called the head. It's not just called an arm, an ear. It's a body. Every single person plays a specific role in the body of Christ. This is also why the New Testament is obsessed with the word one another. The New Testament alone says one another 59 times. These one another statements are considered foundational. Let me say that again. These are foundational to a Christian community living a life in Jesus. Covering them in love, unity, service, mutual care among believers. One another. I like what Nick said earlier too. You might be here today and you might not even believe in this whole Jesus thing. Guess what? It's okay, because we want you to belong before you have to believe what we believe. I do know one thing. You can't do it all by yourself, whether you're a believer or not. You need somebody else in your life who understands. Now, I'm not talking about this surface level church friendships. I'm not talking about how we meet after church for 10, 15 minutes and just have some casual conversation. I'm talking about real relationships here. John 13:34 says, love one another. That means going beyond small talk and actual real talk. Vulnerability, confess your sins to one another, James 5:16. That says, I'm struggling and I need help. Oh, we like that phrase, don't we? Nobody's nodding their head, but you all should be nodding your head. Accountability. Bear one another's burdens. That was our first sermon into this thing, Galatians 6:2. That loves you, it's when accountability is when somebody loves you too much to let you stay where you're at. I love you too much to not tell you the truth and help you. I'm talking about people who know you, who know your struggles, people who pray for you by your name, people who call you out when you're making stupid decisions. My wife is really good at that with me. Husbands, you agree. Just agree. People who show up at your house when your world is falling apart. This is what rooted relationships is all about. This is why we've been talking about them for weeks. Because I would rather have 50 rooted people in Christ than 500 people sitting in this room to show up on Sundays. Let me rephrase that. God would rather have 50 rooted people in their walk with Him than 500 people in this room who come only on Sunday. He wants deep roots. But too many of us are trying to bear fruit while keeping our roots shallow. We want blessings without vulnerability. We want growth without accountability. We want fruit without relationships. We like the idea of all of this. But guess what? We have to till up the soil of our lives and do a little work and get a little dirty. This reminds me of a friend back home. Sarah came to our church years ago. And she was super committed. She was super committed. Every Sunday, she would sit right up in the front row. Man, she was taking notes. Posted scripture on social media. From the outside, she looked like she had everything. And her life and her relationship with Jesus was thriving. But Sarah was spiritually isolated. She kept her struggles private. When her marriage started to fall apart, she didn't tell anyone. When she started having doubts about God, she suffered alone. And when she was tempted to have an affair, she had no one to confess to. She was trying to bear fruit with shallow roots, and it nearly almost destroyed her by keeping all the secrets. Finally, I convinced her to join a rooted group. And for the first month, she pretty much shared nothing. But she was there. But slowly, these 12 people became her lifeline. When she wanted to leave her husband, they walked with her through biblical counseling. When she questioned God and His goodness, they reminded her of His faithfulness. When she was tempted to compromise, they loved her enough to confront her. Today, Sarah's marriage is restored. Her faith is stronger than ever. And she's leading her own rooted groups now. That's what happens when we stop trying to bear fruit alone and start connecting our roots to a community. When we start doing life with other people. But here's what breaks my heart. Half of you listening right now have never experienced this kind of experience that I've been talking about the past 4 weeks. Not besides the one who went through it. You've been coming to church, but you've never had an experience of this kind of community where you're able to be vulnerable and share and pray and love, even when you don't want to love, even when things are falling apart, even when you're offended. You have an opportunity to love like you've never loved somebody before. You've been trying to follow Jesus on Sunday, and you're wondering why your faith is so weak throughout the week and why you keep struggling with the same sins, why you don't see God moving in your life. It's because you have a root problem. There's a root problem. There's urgency in this. Church, I need you to understand something. The storms are coming. Jesus promised the storms would be coming. He says, in this world you will have troubles. You might get laid off. You might lose hours at work. Your health might fail. Your marriage might be tested. Your kids might rebel. Addiction might creep into your life very slowly and subtly. And when those storms hit, the question won't be how much Bible knowledge you have in your head. The question is going to be, how deep are your roots? Right now, for some of us, the weather is calm. While you have time and energy and opportunity, right now is the moment when you need to get rooted. It's hard to get rooted when the world's crashing in around you. Build a foundation now, so when the trouble comes, you're rooted. The redwood trees stay rooted and built up from the wind that comes through their lives because they're all interconnected together. Don't wait till next month. Not when life slows down, because guess what? That doesn't happen. Oh, it's going to be slow next month. No, yep. I'll talk to you next month to see how that works. Because if there's a trick to that, please let me know. We know it's never going to happen. You hear me say this all the time. You're never going to get rooted if you try to clean your act up first. You come with your brokenness, your all of this. This is where community comes together, because we've already tried to figure it out. If you've been struggling with addiction or anything like that, you know that you've been trying to fight this. You know deep down inside that there's something pulling at you and you don't know how to stop and you don't know what to do. It's because you don't have anybody in your life speaking into your life. You don't have anybody to say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about going to do this, or I'm thinking about doing what I'm not supposed to do. You don't call after the fact that you did it. You call before you did it, because that person's going to tell you not to do it. But you got to have people in your life for that. You don't have to come. You don't have to clean yourself up before you get rooted. Right now is the time. So here's what I'm asking you to do. And again, actually, this is what Jesus is asking you to do. Not Pastor Jeremy. God wants something for you. I want something for you. I want the blessings that God gives you, because I've experienced this. I've walked this out in my life. I'm not telling you to do something I've never done before. There are times in our life where if we didn't have our small group, man, who I probably wouldn't be standing up here today, because I had an anger problem. There were times where I wanted to go smack somebody around. Hey, I'm just saying. There are times where we've lost somebody in our family and we didn't know where to go, but our family, our Christian, and I'm talking like a Celebrate Recovery family. I'm talking about our rooted friends and family. I'm talking about the people that we allowed into our lives that knew everything about us. They were the ones there with us through the entire process. When we were about to make bad decisions or wrong decisions out of emotion, people were able to stop us. Before I bought a $40,000 car, a good friend of mine said, don't do that. You can buy this car for $15,000. Now I'm not in debt because of it. Without those people in my life, I would do stupid things. I believe that we all do stupid things all the time, because we haven't allowed somebody in our lives to look at our situation from a different angle. Here's what Jesus is asking you to do. First, examine your soil. What kind of soil do you have? You need to be brutally honest with yourself here. Are you the rocky ground? All emotion and no depth? Are you the thorny ground? Are you choked by the worries and the wealth of this world? Are you choking and worried about the things of how you're going to get the next promotion? or get the next thing, or get the next best thing, or the next best thing? Or are you, is that you? Are you worried about the wealth and the things in your life? Or even to the point of, how am I going to pay my bills this week? Take your eyes off the problem and put them on the solution. Or are you good soil? Are you wanting to produce good fruit in your life? The second one is, you need to get rooted. So first check your soil, then get rooted in the soil. If you haven't signed up for the Rooted groups yet, what are you waiting for? I wouldn't spend a whole 4 weeks talking about rooted relationships if it wasn't important. It's in your hands. The registration's open. I opened it last week. You can register right now. You've seen some of the hands going up. Don't worry about the details. There should be something in you that's saying, I need this. God, I need something new. Help me be rooted in you. And I'm not asking you to add one more thing to your already busy schedules. I get it. I'm asking you to prioritize the one thing that will determine whether your faith survives in the storms ahead. That's what matters. Think about it. For us older people, 40s and up, we have a saying. We say, man, if I knew what I knew then, I would have done it. Right? Because when we were young, we had all the time in the world to get stuff done, and we procrastinated and didn't do it. You're talking 10 weeks out of your life that could possibly change the trajectory of your life forever. 10 weeks is all it's going to cost you. 10 weeks, and it could change everything if you allow it to. Because you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. What kind of soil are you tilling up in your heart? Because you can come in and not till, just come in and do the group and be like, yeah, I did the homework. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or you can like, God, turn this upside down so that I can bear deep roots, not just my own roots, but with roots with other people in my group. I'm asking you to prioritize the one thing that will determine whether your faith survives the storm ahead. Third thing is produce fruit. The goal isn't just to survive here. The goal is to thrive. If you feel like you're just surviving in life right now, you're not rooted. Because even when you're rooted in the struggles and the temptations and all the broken things of this world come in, guess what? You are rooted, so rooted that you say, not today, Satan. Get behind me. I have friends, I have family that are fighting my battles with me. You can't touch me by yourself. The goal is to thrive. It's to produce. Man, I want to produce fruit that's 100, 60, even 30 times what I had planted. When your roots go deep, when you're connected to the vine, when you're supported by a genuine community, you will produce fruit and you won't even be able to stop it. Because it's not you producing the fruit now. Let me ask you, will people come to Christ through your life? Will your families and your friends and your kids be transformed because of the root system that you have in your life? Will your workplace be different because you're there, because you're rooted? It starts with your roots. The roots are so important that Jesus taught a parable on the roots and the soil. Let me close with this. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. I'm going to ask three groups of people to respond. So go ahead and just close your eyes, bow your head. Nobody's looking. If you never truly surrendered your life to Jesus, you don't have to have all the answers right now. You don't. But if you've never truly surrendered, you're not going to be able to get rooted without the source, without the word, the seed. You got to have the word. And the good news comes through the preaching and the teaching of the word, the seed. Jesus died on a cross so that you could be forgiven of your sins. He didn't stop there. He rose from the dead 3 days later, proving he was who he says he is, and that is God. Only God can forgive sin. Again, you don't have to have all this figured out right now. We're going to help you get rooted. If you've been playing church and you've been coming, you know, for the past couple weeks, and you say you follow Jesus, you know, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to know Jesus in a new way and you've never accepted him before, raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I'm going to hang out here for a little bit more. Don't leave this room today without having an encounter with Jesus. Nobody's looking. Today, your whole world can change. Second, if you've been trying to live a Christian life in isolation, if you've been a Lone Ranger Christian, I want you to raise your hand right now. If you feel like you've been a Lone Ranger Christian, raise your hand right now. I see you. 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 I see all the hands going up in the room. Don't look, nobody. I see them. Been playing the Lone Ranger. Guess what? There's hope. There's hope. Commit today to join this group so that we can equip you and disciple you and teach you and show you how to have roots so deep that it doesn't just grow into your life, it grows into the people's lives around you. Stop trying to grow roots by yourself. It's so hard. And third, if you've been through rooted and maybe you've been walking with Christ for a long time, and if he's stirring your heart, here's the thing. We talked about discipleship. Find somebody to mentor. Find somebody to be the backbone of their walk. Find a new believer. Pour your life into them. Let them pour their ugliness into you so that they can come and find freedom and grace and hope that only comes through you. Walk this out together. You can be a deep-rooted Christian who helps somebody else start growing their roots. If that's you, raise your hand. I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. Man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the parable of the sower. Thank you for showing us the issue isn't the seed. The seed is perfect. The issue is the soil of our hearts. God, I pray that every person in this room would examine their soil honestly. For those who realize they've never truly surrendered to you, give them courage today. Their hands went up today. Thank you. Step into their heart. Give them courage today. For those who have been trying to follow you all alone, show them their desperate need for community. Not just a Sunday service community, but a life-changing community. For those who already have been rooted, use them to help other people grow deeper in their faith and in their walk. Lord, let this church be known for its size, not its programs, not its building, but by the roots, by the depth of our roots. Father, that they wouldn't say, look at that big, huge church. They would say, look how deeply rooted those believers are in Christ. Raise up a generation of believers who cannot be shaken, like our young ones who were on the stage earlier. Father, raise them up. Do not let our young ones be choked out by the things of this world. Allow us to be a people who produce fruit that is lasting from generation to generation. We love you, Jesus. Help us to be good soil and our roots run deep. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay. Rooted. I'm not going to even say it anymore. It's open. Get on your Church Center app if you want to be a part of this. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little information that I have. There'll be a group on Sundays with childcare and a group on Thursdays. At this point, there are only a few spots left. Get signed up. It will change everything. Don't wait for it to be a perfect time. Just jump in. Just jump in, and I'll give you more information. So if you want to do that, if you need help registering, go to Vinette. She'll help you on Church Center. You can come to me. I'll answer any questions I have for you, and we will move forward. But I need you to know my heart in this Rooted thing. This is the heart blood of our church moving forward. Discipleship, rooted relationships, unity, faith, growth, love, serving, giving, all of it. We're going to learn all of that. And these are going to be the core of who we are here at this church. So if you want to be a part of that, we want you to sign up. We love you guys. Sweets and treats over here afterwards, here in a minute. Father, thank you for all the calories and all the cookies and all the good stuff over there. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed.